Today on the Pulse Wave, she's a veteran advocate. She's a communications and media guru, a recruiting and hiring expert, a self-proclaimed social butterfly. Currently, she's the content marketing manager at a place that many of us who have anything to do with cleared work are familiar with. It's clearancejobs.com. Help me in welcoming Miss Katie Keller to the Pulse Wave. Thanks for coming on. And it seems like you're doing great.
I try. I am so delighted to be here, though, because I feel like so many defense contracting companies are still so stale when it comes to content. And so when I see one that's putting out a podcast, that's putting out resources, especially in the cleared hiring space where the market is just not in your favor, you have so many passive candidates. You have to reach them in some way. And the way that you do that is content and branding. And y'all have a great brand. I just love it. And so long story short, I am so delighted to be here today.
Wow, that means a lot coming from you. Thank you. Lots of hard work, lots of individuals with input to what the current state of Metronome that you see today. So I'm interested. You know, one of our mantra initiatives is to be inimitable. And inimitable meaning bringing a little bit of flair, being a little bit different. And to me, it sort of goes a little further and say, hey, you know, let's not take this that seriously and let's have some fun. And you mentioned that you want to make the security clearance process funny, one meme at a time. And while that's just a quick comment and right off the bat, but I have a feeling that there's some depth there, and I'm curious what that means to you.
Yeah, so like I said, sometimes things in government, and particularly security clearances, it's just a little stuffy. It's not really a process or an entity within the national security space that is just like, oh, Gen Z really wants to come do this. And so trying to make some of the more grown-up sort of policy or processes in terms of obtaining a security clearance, looking through those adjudicative guidelines, just getting interested in national security careers, I'm trying to make it funny. I'm trying to make it lighthearted, because I have found in the 10 plus years that I have been in the government contracting space, things transform from sort of a Mad Men environment at some of the defense contractors I supported to, I used to have dreads, having employees that are covered in tattoos have dreads. And again, just making some of this stuff that is so critical in protecting our national security, being more attractive to younger generations. So that's the whole thing with younger generations like memes, older generations like memes. Everybody likes memes. It's one thing that we can all agree on.
Everybody also likes feeling like they're somewhere where they're accepted as well. Right. And I'm with you. You know, I've been in the industry for a little over 20 years at this point, and I vividly remember some of my first defense conferences. And yeah, you know, you're sort of calling it Mad Men, you know, you're sort of hitting it on the nose. You just had to add several dozen years to that. But yeah, it's exciting to where we're going. You know, I don't like saying where we are, because there's just so much more to it. And, you know, it definitely makes it easier to be in the industry knowing that there's a lot of folks and influencers like yourself who are really trying to do their best to push it in that direction. So I appreciate that. You know, you mentioned, you know, you've been in the field for about 10 years. You know, what drew you to the government and military, you know, industry, I guess, ultimately getting you to clearance jobs?
Yeah, I think in hindsight, you know, I was in fifth grade when 9/11 happened, and I lived in Fredericksburg, Virginia. My mom was a single mom, and so we had one of our neighbors pick us up from school. It was just after the hit on the Pentagon, and you know, proximity wise back then, it took maybe 40 minutes to get up to DC. Nowadays, not so much from Fredericksburg, Stafford area. But I'd like to say that in hindsight was a little bit of a call sort of to serve in this industry. But was I thinking when I joined my first contractor? No, that's not how it happened. I was a broke recent college graduate working for an environmental research firm in Harrisonburg, Virginia, go Dukes. But I found myself in a really horrible living situation and I had no money. And I was like, okay, I gotta figure something out. This is not a path that is going to go well for little Katie Keller. So I had a friend who was working as an executive assistant at a defense contractor out of Charlottesville, Virginia, that supported the National Ground Intelligence Center. They were a hub zone business. I lived in a hub zone area. And so they put me on the books for 16 hours a week. So I worked there part-time commuting, still supporting the research firm in Harrisonburg, and just kind of kicked ass. And they hired me on full-time. And from there, I was a receptionist. So I was just doing administrative work, answering phone calls. And there was an opening for the HR recruiting department. And I was like, hey, I like people. I like talking to people. And so I got into that. The HR director left. So I found myself managing everything in the HR recruiting department. And at this point, I was like, I don't know, 24. And I was like, what is going on? So I, again, in hindsight, 9/11 was a big part of, you know, I think thinking about why I stayed in this industry. Was it the reason I came in? Maybe not so much, but I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, right. So early in your career, it looks like you're really involved directly recruiting, talent acquisition. And now you mentioned, you know, this new role you've been in for the last few years. Do you satiate, you know, I think once a recruiter, always a recruiter. Do you satiate any of those things that you may not miss about being a recruiter in this role because you're at Clearance Jobs?
So Clearance Jobs is, I have a very love-hate relationship with recruiting. And so, and I, as I'm sure all recruiters do, it is one of the toughest roles to be in. You have phone calls that you're constantly hung up on. You are laughed at when it gets to the point of salary negotiations. You are dealt impossible requirements for the location, impossible clearances, especially working in a candidate market where there aren't as many folks with full scope polygraphs. You are working with some contractors who like to slash prices right before submitting a response to an RFP. And where are the prices slashed? Of course, people's salaries. And so it is one of the toughest businesses to be in. But it was also really rewarding for myself and that I really loved interfacing with those that were about to transition out of the military, particularly military spouses who potentially had clearances and could support the programs that I was staffing for. But Clearance Jobs, I will never leave this company because I get to touch recruiting, but I don't have the quotas of recruiting and the ebbs and flows of the defense contracting industry. So yeah, love-hate relationship that I have with recruiting.
I think most recruiters would call it that type of relationship. When you talk about content marketing for Clearance Jobs and in this industry, from your standpoint, how does it differ from other industries? Like, what are the challenges and disadvantages potentially?
Well, it's interesting. I think the challenge is that we are dealing with such a niche market. We are trying to appeal to security clearance holders, those that are transitioning out of the military. But as we've seen in recent headlines, recruiting for the armed forces particularly has been incredibly down. And so it's trying to get the next generation, those who are currently not cleared, exposed to the process. So we'll take you back to my even high school years. I was never exposed to some of the stability in working in national security, the security clearance process, what kind of careers you can do working for the federal government. I was never exposed to that. And so it wasn't until after college that I, you know, was like, okay, I'll get into this industry. But making sure that we're hitting the next generation, that's one of the most important things to me, is getting that next generation who is uncleared at least interested in trying to protect our national security.
I love that. Yeah, it's all about young people. I'll tell you. Or I listen to music all day when I'm not on the phone, and the other there's folks in my office, and they're all in their mid to late 20s, and they don't know what these songs are. Big hits. They don't know what the good movies are. I'm like, that started happening several years ago. On that hand, sometimes it makes me feel a little bit older, but there's all the other things that I experience from them that it sort of equals it out. What are some of the misconceptions? You mentioned, you know, to be in this industry, you have to have a clearance. What's some misconceptions that people might have about obtaining a security clearance, especially when you have no experience at a young age coming out of high school or college?
I think one of the biggest ones is that you have to join the military to get a security clearance. You definitely don't, especially in some of these weird technical fields, like some of the theoretical stuff I used to work on where we were looking for like physical scientists and some of those STEM careers. You don't have to be in the military to get a security clearance. A really great option is to go the Govy route and apply directly for a federal agency. Or again, find a defense contractor that's willing to sponsor. And I think especially for some of those really high demand fields where there aren't a ton of candidates, most entities are willing to sponsor for you those because the need is there. And so again, you don't have to go through the military to get a security clearance. I think the other thing there are a lot of misconceptions around is the process in filling out the SF-86. In thinking that, oh, I smoked weed in college or, you know, did some magic mushrooms. I think being able to, they're trying to evaluate your trustworthiness. So it's better to mitigate some of those young shenanigans by just putting it all out on the table and being like, hey, I was young, because past time is a mitigating factor. It's a lot harder to mitigate a lie that you put on the SF-86. They're going to be like, no, we don't trust you. You are not within the inner circle. So I think just being forthright when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I'm curious what your take would be when you talk about policy that could potentially affect talent acquisition in the intelligence community, really anywhere. When you talk about policies like AI, like DEI, work from home, work from office.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw with the pandemic and all of these sort of big private sector tech companies having the ability to offer 100% remote positions. We saw people leaving the cleared industry. I mean, it's kind of the nature of the beast. And while you can find hybrid remote options on our site, I think that's another misconception. There is no fully remote cleared position. And so they're trying to work with, you know, flexible schedules and things like that. I think that's a big challenge in terms of talent acquisition. Again, I think marijuana policy, that's another one. Unfortunately, I can only comment on the current policy and not what I think the policy should be. But, you know, I think that's something that we're going to continue to see with the next generation and sort of keeping our security cleared talent numbers up. All that being said, I think with the folks that I speak to from a job seeker's perspective, what keeps them in this industry is the call to service, is the mission, the work that they're doing. And I think that's one thing employers need to do a little bit better is talking about, okay, we're staffing for this program. You're not just a butt in a seat. This is the overall goal or issue that we're trying to combat. And so I think that's something that needs to be emphasized a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about the secret squirrel.
Yeah. So the secret squirrel is like Geico's gecko. It's our little mascot. And so it is just a funner way, aside from the memes, just to, you know, make people laugh within this industry and just to remind people that it doesn't have to be so stuffy.
Well, I chuckled a little when it was doing the card thing about happy holidays, happy Kwanzaa or whatever. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I was going to say, we have a ton of sick merch, Secret Squirrel merch.
Nice.
You can find at clearancejobs.shop. So everybody should head there. We have even onesies for your little ones.
Man, if you want to squeeze whispers. Into it yourself, you could do that, right?
There you go.
Yeah, we don't judge here at the Pulse Wave. Everybody's welcome. So, Katie, are you ready for the most exciting couple minutes in all of podcasting?
Yes.
Because it is time for the Pulse Check. The Pulse Check, I'm going to ask you three questions, and you are going to give me three answers in the form of a song title. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Question number one, how underutilized are the capabilities of clearance jobs by your customers?
So my initial thought is, yeah, by Ursher. But I was like, that's a little too literal. And we're not in the club dancing. So I would say Touch of Grey by the Grateful Dead. Just because I think a lot of the lyrics in that song could describe the hiring process when it comes to recruiting. And I think both candidates and talent folks could relate to I will get by, I will survive. And every silver lining has a touch of gray.
Come on now. You got to do a post connecting those two, the song and the, I love that analogy.
You're giving me so much good content with this conversation.
Come on now. Question number two. How would you feel if your kid became a recruiter someday?
So, are you ready for the... Do you have a bleep button?
I got my finger on it right now.
Okay. Don't Kill My Vibe by Kendrick Lamar. And that is honestly just a funny one. Like I said, I have a love-hate relationship with recruiting, but... On a real note, I would say, Isn't It Ironic by Alanis Morissette. I mean, because I never set out to be a recruiter, and I feel like that's pretty much the moral of the story when it comes to most talent people. But the traits that make a successful recruiter, I just saw in myself. So it makes sense in an ironic way. And so we'll see for my little bear cub if recruiting is in his future. I don't know.
Question number three, third and final question of the Pulse Check with Katie Keller. What is the Secret Squirrel's favorite song?
So the reason this is so easy. This one is really easy for me because I edit like all of our reels on Instagram and choose the music behind them. And so there's like a couple of spy go-tos that I have, which would be Secret Agent Man. We also have like the James Bond theme song. I don't remember the conductor of that orchestra. We also have the Mission Impossible theme music. The Bourne series, my favorite. I would say that theme music. Also, Austin Powers, my favorite international man of mystery, that theme song. But I'm thinking more literal, like squirrels. And because I'm a toddler mom right now, we sing Sillyville, which I don't know how popular that was, but there's this one song, I'm a Nut. And so I would say that could be whatever, fourth or fifth on the Secret Squirrel's song
Secret
list.
Squirrel has five favorite songs concluded with I'm a Nut.
I'm a Nut.
So this was so fun. Thank you so much for coming
on
the Pulse Wave.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Take care, Katie.